Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Somebody asked me a question this morning before I get to this. They said, do you have something that helps us to understand the these and the thous and all of those kinds of things and what all that means? Yes, there's a little pamphlet in the track rack out there. It's kind of a long one. You'll see it standing taller than the other ones. There's a little chart in the back. And tell you exactly what the and thou and ye ands and all those things mean, okay? So, and a bunch of other things in that too. It's just a very, very helpful little thing. So it's there for you to take. If we run out, somebody tell me. I will print some more because actually I printed that on the computer. Chapter number 12, verse number 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We look back to chapter 11, why we have this word wherefore. It's the great hall of faith, isn't it, of all those who believe God. So he says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye would be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this, your precious word. Oh, God, tonight I pray you might teach us from it. I pray that we might gain insight. And, Lord God, that you might work in our hearts in that which you intend this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. As I look at these verses and consider chapter number 11, chapter number 12, it seems to me that maybe God has given us these things because as Christians we get kind of down in the dumps over things that are happening. And the Lord wants us to understand, hey, bad things happen. He wants to understand there are things that take place in our lives, but understand God is using it to bring about His will and His blessing. Oh, how we need to just stop and realize something tonight. God loves us when He chastens us. Isn't that remarkable? God loves us when He chastens us. When He chastens us, it means, hey, God loves us. He cares about us. A little boy runs out into the freeway across the way here, and nobody stops him. That would tell me there's not anybody really cares about him. But when a mother from the side of the street, and perhaps while she's even running, is screaming at him to get out of the traffic, and I mean, she is really tearing him to shreds with her mouth, and runs out there and grabs him and jerks him off the freeway, that is showing what? Love. Because she doesn't want him to get hurt by that which can kill him. And so the Lord, whom He loves, He chastens. We find that we understand we ought never despise that in our lives. Notice verse number 5. He says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Don't quit because He rebukes you. And don't get down in the dumps, and don't despise Him because God brings about some chastenings. Matter of fact, in verse number 7, if I understand that right, those who are sons of God need to endure that chastening. I didn't get too many spankings when I was a kid. My mother just could say a few things to me. I'd break down in tears, and man, I was very tender-hearted that way. But I remember one time my sister and I, we were fighting. We had a tendency somehow to start arguing when Mom was on the telephone. And you got to understand something. Some of you have no concept of this. But in those days, when Mom was on the telephone, there were a lot of other people who had their telephones up listening to the conversation. They were called party lines. And by that, we don't mean they were having a party. That means there were several people who could listen to your conversation. You could listen to theirs as well. And so when your phone would ring, it would ring in their homes. And many times there were as many as 20 different families that would be on one party line. And you had a specific ring that came to your house. And so you knew it was for you or so forth. And then they got technology a little better and so forth. But anybody who knew that there was one on there could do that. Well, my mother was on the telephone, and she was not one to talk too often, too many times, really. She was not one of those. But here she's on the phone once again, and we were fighting. You know what my mother did when she got off the phone? She showed me what I had been doing to my horse was not nearly as comfortable as I thought. And she went out and on my saddle, grabbed the horsewhip off of that, brought it back, and she laid that upon our behind ends. Mom happened to think that that was specially built by God to use that with. And so she laid that thing upon us. I remember my sister had a welt on the side of her leg because Mom missed just a little ways. And by the way, my sister didn't go report her. There was nobody to report her to. Because in those days, you report, they say, well, that's what you deserved. Anyways, that's another time, another era, and so forth. But I got chastened real good. You know what I learned from that? Got any idea? I learned not to talk or fight with my sister when my mother was on the telephone. I learned that. I learned that if I did, it would hurt. And therefore, being allergic to pain, I broke out in bumps, and I didn't do it anymore. And so I backed off on that. Listen, I had to endure it. And I look back at it, and I'm thankful that my mother was willing to do what she did to correct me and to take me in the right direction. And so we're going to endure some of those things. Those who don't receive it are none of His. Verse number 8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. Now that's a very harsh word that says you're illegitimate. You're not really sons. And so as a son of God, as a person that belongs to the Lord, I am going to have chastisement. And therefore, I should not be so down in the dumps because I'm going through something that God is doing in my life. It needs to take place. He said, matter of fact, in verse number 9, hey, we had fathers in the flesh. I just mentioned my mother. I remember one time my daddy whipped me and I thought it was unjust. And I thought that for years and years and years until I got married and had children of my own and I saw them do the same thing and I thought, you know what, Dad was right. And I deserved it and he should have done it more than once. I was a little brat. You can say amen because it's true. But we what? We have fathers that care about us and they do it. Now he says they're for their pleasure, but he says that God does it that you and I might be partakers of His holiness. God allows these things to come into our lives. God brings them in many cases. It doesn't make it feel any better, but it does modify our behavior. Notice what's said in verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. When I had the whip in my hands with my children, I know that it did not hurt me as bad as it did them. It did not feel good. It's excruciating pain, right? Amen. It's supposed to be. And no chastening seemeth to be joyous, but what's it do? It is there to produce something in the lives. Verse number 12, he says, hey, listen, as a result, we shouldn't be downcast and defeated. We need to get up and go. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. We need to get excited about what God's seeking to produce in our lives. Verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. By the way, have you noticed that most correction has to do with interpersonal relationships? Have you noticed that? Most correction has to deal with our relationships with others. Moms and dads, you look right now, where's the biggest problem you have? Brother and sister, sister and sister, brother and brother? Or perhaps cousins, or perhaps some friends. And there's problems that take place, and what has to happen? Some discipline must take place, result of it. And God wants us to what? Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man, he says, shall see the Lord. That's not talking about salvation. That's talking about our relationship with the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they what? Shall see God. And we understand that. And so we find that God has, in His wonderful way, given to you and I of His grace. Notice verse 15, it's our text. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God has given us grace to live by. However, there's a problem that can take place. And that problem is brought about in verse number 15. It's described to us as allowing bitterness to spring up and troubles us and defiles many. Bitterness to arise in our lives. How's bitterness come? The Bible says we ought to examine ourselves. Let me just ask you a few questions. Who do you spend most of your life with? Well, multiple choice. Who do you spend most of your life with? People, animals, things. People, isn't it? We spend most of our lives with people. Where would the logical place for Satan to attack us at? Would it not be in our relationship with people? What is the biggest and the strongest relational organization or organizations? Would it not be our families? And would it not be our churches? Are they not relational organizations? Our family, our churches. So what organization is most likely to be under Satan's attack? Would it not again be our families and our churches, our church? One of the main messages of the Word of God is that we might forgive. And we find that within families, within churches, things happen because we're people. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves in the place of bitterness. And what can thwart bitterness? A forgiving heart. No wonder Jesus taught us to pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We find from the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 that he gets an advantage, Satan gets an advantage of us when we're unwilling to forgive. Unwilling to do so. And as a result of extended unforgiveness in our lives, we can have created within us a bitterness. It's interesting, he talks about the root of bitterness. Roots are under the ground. We don't see them. Plants don't pull the roots out and say, hey, looky here. And bitterness is sometimes masked. It's sometimes covered over. We show forth our leaves. We show forth our fruit. And yet, at the very root of it all, there can be some bitternesses there. Because we're unwilling to let go of some things. We're unwilling to let loose of those things that have hurt us in the past. Sometimes we're like the Lord Jesus Christ. We suffer unjustly because things have happened. Sometimes we reap the consequences of bad decisions. Sometimes we say things we ought not and do things that we shouldn't. Jesus' suffering was always unjust. But rather than retaliate, what do we find? He did not become bitter, but he committed it all to God. Who, when he was reviled, the Bible says, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. How do we do that? How do we do that? Let me give you a few suggestions. One, identify those who have hurt you and release them to God. Amen? Let God deal with them. Vengeance is whose? Vengeance will create in us a bitterness. When we want to get even and we need to learn to give it to the Lord, they're His. And allow God to deal with them the way He wants to. Too often we want God to do it the way we tell Him to do it. You see, it's God's job. It's His responsibility to take care of the wrong in their lives, not yours or mine. And oftentimes we even get mad at God because of the way He handles it. Do you ever stop and think about this? God allows some fiery trials in our lives. And God allows some things to happen many times in families, many times in churches. But it's like the three Hebrew children who were bound and put in the fire. What did the fire do to the binding upon their hands? It burned away, did it not? And it loosed them, and they were free to have fellowship with the Son of God who was there with them. That's what God wants from you and I. And that is, we need to identify them, release it to God. There are people who carry around baggage for years and years and years, and it's time to let God have it. Because it taints all of your relationships. Forgive from the heart. This is unlimited forgiveness. It's just saying, God, it's yours. I let you have it. It is yours to do. Forgiving from the heart is not a mushy feeling. It's with your will saying, God, I forgive so-and-so for doing this. You may not feel like it, but it's an act of the will. Realizing what needs to be done, giving it to God, walking away from it, letting Him have it. Because if we don't, and we keep that there, bitterness begins to arise. We need to be willing then to live with the consequences. Crystal, if you owe me $2,000, you got $2,000? You don't? In fact, you just gave us a check, so you kind of got depleted, didn't you, for your trip? And it's like, hey, Crystal, you owe me $2,000. If I forgive you of that debt, What does that mean on my part? It means it cost me $2,000. Isn't that true? Yeah. I just, however it came to you, no matter what it was, if I gave you $2,000, that's cost me that when I forgive you that debt. And so we now understand something tonight. When we forgive, it's going to cost us something. And we're going to have to live with those consequences. That is a commitment to God. It's a choice we make. It's not a feeling we go through. And though you don't feel like forgiving, it's an act of the will. God tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you what? Kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I don't preach on the subject of forgiveness to make those you're forgiving feel better. It's for you and it's for me. When we are willing to forgive others, we're not having to carry around that baggage. And so often as God's people, we carry around all these bitternesses and these things. And if we grow old with a lot of bitterness, I'm going to guarantee you we're going to grow old pretty lonely. And I've known old folks who are either bitter or better. I'm thankful to know several who are better. Live with the consequences. Get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When we're in love with Jesus, no matter what somebody does, it's no longer against us anyway. And we're living in a great place. But let me back up for a moment. For in our context, we find here, we're talking about God bringing upon us His chastening. He's telling us here that we need to lift up the hands which hang down. He's telling us here not to fail the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up and trouble us. And here's my point, lastly. From the context, you may be holding something against God and fail to see that what He has allowed in your life, no matter how hurtful it might seem to be, is because He loves you. God allows things, sometimes very harsh and very hurtful it seems. And God should not be held in contempt for it. Well, let Him do what He wants to do. Amen. Or we grow old with bitterness. And I'm going to guarantee you what bitterness does. It destroys you and those around you. And you've seen it. You've seen it in lives, no doubt. But remember something. The root of bitterness, it's hidden. Doesn't always manifest itself real easily. And so we need to be very careful to quickly forgive people. And I don't know how to say it any better than this, but forgive God. He's not sinned against us, and I hesitate using that word. But not hold it against God, because He's been willing to love us enough to spank our deserving hide. I've seen it probably most often when people get bitter at God when they've lost a loved one. Well, God, why did God take him? Well, duh, read your Bible. Why did God take him? Whoever sins is going to die. Isn't that true? Wages of sin is death. It's going to come to everybody. But for some reason, we want to hold it against God because it did it against the time we thought was right. And it doesn't do us any good. Now, there are those who lose loved ones who are not bitter against God, but they deal with grief. That's a whole other issue. And a difficult one. But oh, how we need not be bitter. Amen? The root of bitterness, it can be underneath so easily. And we need to learn to be very quick in our forgiveness. Look around you. These are your friends. Somebody here will say something to you that's going to hurt you. Somebody here will do something that will hurt you. Or you look at your family. Somebody's going to do something. Somebody's going to say something. It just happens. Many of us will get together with families. No doubt there will be something that somebody says. But we have to be what? Forgiving. And if we let that thing sit there and eat, bitterness can come about. And we don't even realize it because it's hidden underneath. Can't let it. Amen, Doc? Destroys. Doc taught me something many years ago. He said, I decided I wanted to be happy. And if you're going to decide to be happy, you have to decide not to let everything that everybody says to you take you down. Amen? Especially the preacher, because he says a lot of things. I was looking at her. But seriously, let's let him do his stuff in our life. Amen? And take it as it comes and let God use it in our lives to make us, not destroy us. Father, tonight, bless, work in our hearts. Lord, if anybody in this room senses in any sort of way a root of bitterness within, God, I pray that they take care of that. Oh, God, that there might be a forgiveness. There might be a letting go. Whatever words we use there. But God, that we not carry it around. It's like a huge weight upon us. You said another place that we need to lay aside the weight that so easily beset us. And many times that is the exact weight that's besetting us. Bless, I pray, and work in our hearts and lives. May these issues be taken care of quickly when we see them. That root of bitterness not begin to develop. And we fail the grace that God has given us to live and to do it. Bless in these moments, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Christine, if you would play, please. Amen. It is a surrender, you know that? A surrender is when we willingly give up. Okay? Well, not necessarily willingly. Submission is more of a willingness. But we give up. And we say, God, it's your way. Amen? All right. Hey, shake hands with somebody. Let them know that you love them tonight. And